In this video, I would like to comment on the following points. Why Paul said, "Do not forbid speaking in tongues," the word perfect and the coming kingdom of God, tongues being a prayer or angelic language, praying in the Spirit, tongues being simply a sign of judgment, and tongues being known languages. So let's begin with what Paul said. In Mark 16:17, Jesus said that believers would speak in tongues, and this did occur as the book of Acts shows. But about 20 years after Jesus died, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians and said that tongues would cease. He also said, "Do not forbid speaking in tongues," and this causes some confusion. But the simple reason he said not to forbid tongues was because, at that point in time, speaking in tongues was still a gift, and it was to remain a gift for many more years until the sign had served its purpose. Then tongues ceased. Regarding the perfect of 1 Corinthians 13:10, some say that it is referring to the kingdom which Jesus will establish when he returns, and that tongues, prophecy and knowledge remain with us until that time. The following timeline shows that this is not possible. Let's say that tongues, prophecy, knowledge, faith, hope and love all still exist today as shown here. Then, when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom, at this point in time, tongues, prophecy and knowledge cease. Next, after tongues, prophecy and knowledge cease, 1 Corinthians 13:13 tells us that faith, hope and love will remain, so I have shown them here remaining after Jesus returns. Now from the previous video, we know that faith and hope will cease when Jesus returns, because they will be fulfilled at that time, so I have shown them ceasing here after remaining for a period. So the resulting timeline shows 2 returns of Jesus, separated by the period of time when faith, hope and love remain. Obviously this can't occur, so the perfect of 1 Corinthians 13:10 cannot be the kingdom established when Jesus returns. Regarding tongues being a private prayer language, every reference to speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14 is in respect to a public situation. An interpretation was insisted upon for the edification of the hearers, because all gifts, including tongues, were for the common good of the church, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7. In 1 Corinthians 14:14-17, Paul said, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say Amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be given thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified." So we can see that this passage is talking about public prayer in tongues, requiring interpretation to allow the others to agree with the prayer, and has nothing to do with private prayer. Some say that 1 Corinthians 14:2 is referring to a private prayer language where it says, "Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit." Firstly, the fact that it says no one understands him tells us that this is not a private situation but public. Secondly, it is obvious that without interpretation, tongues would have been mysterious to the hearers and only God would understand. 1 Corinthians 14:28 clears up the question about speaking to God in tongues, where it says, "If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God." Once again, this is referring to a church setting where, without interpretation, tongue speakers were to keep it between themselves and God. The idea of tongues being a private prayer language can't be found in the Bible, as every mention of tongues is in reference to a public or church setting where interpretation was required. Regarding angelic languages, a misunderstanding of 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 has led some to believe that tongues is an angelic language. A close look at these verses shows that Paul is using exaggerated speech to show that love is greater than any gift. For example, in verse 2 he talks about having all knowledge, yet later on in verse 9 he says that knowledge was in part. So he wasn't saying that he could have all knowledge. He is using exaggerated language and effectively saying, "Even if I could jump over the moon or do or have anything else and do not have love, then I have nothing." So Paul is saying that even if he could speak in an angelic language but didn't have love, then he had nothing. He is telling us that love should be our emphasis, not signs and wonders. It's often said that praying in the Spirit means to pray in tongues. In Ephesians 6:18, believers, that is, all Christians, are instructed to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now we know from 1 Corinthians 12:29 and 30 that not everyone would speak in tongues. So if praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues, and not everyone spoke in tongues, then the Lord had given an impossible command to those who didn't speak in tongues. From this it is plain to see that praying in the Spirit is not praying in tongues. Rather, it is praying according to God's will with the aid and guidance of the Holy Spirit, as opposed to self-generated fleshy prayers where we seek our own ends. It really is a misinterpretation to say that tongues is for private prayer. And also, how can anyone pray intelligently with all kinds of prayers and requests if they are praying in tongues and don't know what they are saying? Now I'd like to look at the purpose of tongues. 1 Corinthians 1:22 tells us that Jews demand miraculous signs, and 1 Corinthians 14:21 and 22 tell us that speaking in tongues was a sign. In these verses, God said that he would speak to this people, the Jews, in strange tongues, and that tongues was a sign to unbelievers. So we can see that tongues was a sign to unbelieving Jews. The Jews were unbelieving in two respects. Firstly, that Jesus was the Messiah, and secondly, that the Gentiles were part of God's salvation plan. Acts confirms that tongues was a sign to the Jews, as Jews were present on the three occasions where tongues occurred. Firstly, in Acts 2, the Jewish disciples spoke in tongues to the Jews visiting Jerusalem. Secondly, in Acts 10 and 11, Peter and his companions were present to hear the Gentiles speaking in tongues, and this convinced them and the Christian Jews of Jerusalem that the Gentiles were part of God's salvation plan. And thirdly, in Acts 19, tongues was assigned to 12 Jews, showing that salvation was not in John's baptism, but in the Messiah they had rejected. The Jews violently rejected Jesus and violently opposed Gentiles becoming part of God's church. God knew that they would need a sign, and speaking in tongues was a sign of forthcoming judgment against them, which was fulfilled when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. The very nature of tongues, foreign languages, would have made it very clear to the Jews what the sign was about, because they knew how God had previously used foreign languages as a sign of judgment against them. At the end of this video, I'll put a link to a PDF which shows how foreign languages were a sign of judgment in the Old Testament. A point to note is that 1 Corinthians 14:22 tells us that tongues was not a sign for believers to know that they had received the Holy Spirit, but a sign to unbelievers. A final point is that the Bible does not give a single case where tongues was not understood or did not have to be interpreted. 1 Corinthians 14:10 says, "Undoubtedly there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning." We are told that tongues were simply a sign, and a sign without meaning is no sign at all. In the next video, I would like to comment on some other points, such as the two types of prophecy and knowledge, the two witnesses and prophecy, Romans 8:26 and the Spirit interceding for us, and today's prophets. May the Lord bless you as you walk with him. Amen.